if you didn't care. What happened to me? And I didn't care. For you, we would zigzag away through the boredom and pain, occasionally glancing up through the rain, wondering which of the brothers to blame. And watching for pigs on the wing.
All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. George Orwell, Animal Farm. The United States has gradually degenerated from a republic based on individual liberties to a socialized oligarchy run by an exclusive few. The country was founded upon the platform of individual rights. We declared our independence from Great Britain because of excessive regulation and taxation. Americans fought for the right to live their lives free from the subjugation of an overbearing governmental body. The Founding Fathers declared our independence with these immortal words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness." July 4th, 1776. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America.
And what you're listening to tonight was recorded July 8th of 2009. Good evening. This is Jeffrey Bennett. Welcome to a special presentation on the Edge of Darkness tonight. Typically on Thursday, we'll move a little bit more toward the economics, but I've had a rough couple of days. Even John and I talked this morning. He said, "Jeff, you got to get some rest." So stick around, listen to this program. Don't walk away from it. What was then is what has happened now. We talked about what could happen, and now it's all happening. Talk to you later.
Corrupt politics. 10 too big to fail banks, a secretive central bank, 17,000 corporate lobbyists, and thousands of government bureaucrats. Essentially, 306 million citizens are managed by a few thousand elitist rulers. George Orwell's classic novel Animal Farm was inspired by a scene he witnessed. "I saw a little boy," Orwell stated, "perhaps 10 years old, driving a huge cart horse along a narrow path, whipping it whenever it tried to turn. It struck me that if only such animals become aware of their strength, and we should have no power over them, and that men exploit animals in much the same way as the rich exploit the proletariat." Orwell wrote the novel during World War II and published it in 1945. It was a contemptuous indictment of Joseph Stalin and the Soviet Union, and he recognized that propaganda and abuse of language could smoothly control the opinions of enlightened intellectuals in democratic countries. He saw through the prism of Soviet propaganda to the true evil of Stalin and his KGB dogs. Intellectuals in Great Britain's Ministry of Information attempted to censor his right to publish the book because it would offend their supposed ally, Joseph Stalin. He knew the truth. While intellectuals were horribly wrong, Stalin murdered 700,000 Russian citizens during the Great Purge of the 1930s. The plot of Orwell's Animal Farm is rather quite simple. It follows the Russian Revolution from 1917 through 1944. Three pigs, Snowball, or Leon Trotsky, Napoleon, Joseph Stalin, and Squealer, Myaslav Molotov, formulate Old Major's, or Vladimir Lenin's, principles into a philosophy called animalism. The animals defeat the farmer, Mr. Jones, or in this case, Tsar Nicholas II, in a battle, running him off the land. They rename the property Animal Farm, or Soviet Union. The cart horse boxer, the Russian working class, devotes himself to the cause with particular passion, committing his great strength to the prosperity of the farm and adopting as a personal axiom the affirmation, "I will work harder." Well, Napoleon and Snowball increasingly argue over the future of the farm, and they begin to struggle with one another for power and influence among the other animals. And after a speech, nine attack dogs, or the KGB, burst into the barn and chase Snowball, Trotsky, from the farm. Well, Napoleon, Stalin, assumes leadership of Animal Farm and declares that there will be no more meetings. And from that point on, he stresses, the pigs alone will make all of the decisions for the good of every animal, or the workers in this case. Napoleon begins expanding his powers, rewriting history to make Trotsky a villain, Snowball. So Napoleon also begins to act more and more like a human being, sleeping in a bed, drinking whiskey, engaging in trade with neighboring farmers. The original animalist principles strictly forbade such activities. But Squealer, Napoleon's propagandist, justifies every action to the other animals, convincing them that Napoleon is a great leader and is making things better for everyone, despite the fact that the common animals are cold, they're hungry, they're overworked. Looking in at the party of pigs and farmers through the farmhouse window, the common animals can no longer tell which are the pigs and which are the human beings. The perversion of founding principles is not limited to communist countries. On the farm, there were the seven original commandments. 1. Whatever goes upon two legs is an enemy. 2. Whatever goes upon four legs or has wings is a friend. 3. No animals shall wear clothes. 4. No animals shall sleep in a bed. 5. No animals shall drink alcohol. 6. No animals shall kill any other animal. And finally, 7. All animals are created equal. You see, all of the seven commandments are eventually broken by the pigs for their own gain. Squealer, Molotov, instantly changes or constantly changes the commandments to the pigs' benefit, taking advantage of the other animals. And through the manipulation of language, the pigs accumulate more power and privileges. No animal shall sleep in a bed with sheets. No animal shall drink alcohol to excess. No animal shall kill any other animal without cause. And then you see, ultimately, all the commandments are boiled down to one commandment, that all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Could this degeneration of founding principles happen in the United States? The distressing answer is, my friends, that it already has. It has accelerated at a breakneck pace since 2000. Orwell's themes are as true today as they were in the year he wrote the book, in 1944. All political thinking for years past has been vitiated in the same way. People can foresee the future only when it coincides with their own wishes, and the most grossly obvious facts can be ignored when they are unwelcome. Political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable, and to give an appearance of solidity to pure wind. George Orwell, once again. Our elected officials, my friends, are supposed to represent the wishes of the citizens that elected them. They derive their just powers from the governed. In the early days of our republic, citizens could freely enter the White House without hesitation. Federalist Papers 55 and 56 explicitly promised, without qualification, that there would be one representative for every 30,000 inhabitants. The framers of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights intended that the total population of congressional districts never exceed 50,000 to 60,000. Currently, the average population size of the districts is nearly 700,000, and consequently, the principle of proportionately equitable representation has been abandoned. You see, our elected officials no longer represent the people. They represent the 17,000 corporate lobbyists who spend $3.3 billion per year to persuade them what is best for their special interests. This is why a congressperson can receive 9-to-1 calls from their constituents against a $700 billion banker bailout bill and still vote for the bill. You see, the ideals of our fledgling republic have been corrupted by politicians who have sold their souls to corporate and banking interests. And the corruption, my friends, became more insidious with the creation of the Federal Reserve and the institution of the federal income tax in 1913. The levers of money printing and raising taxes gave the select few, the pigs, the wherewithal to control and manipulate the working class population. Debt and taxes are the friends of a corrupt politician. The cabal of bankers who control the Federal Reserve has been printing money for 96 years to such an extent that the U.S. dollar has lost 96% of its purchasing power versus gold. But with Orwellian irony, our government leaders proclaim a strong dollar policy. This is a lie. The only way out of the current colossal debt dilemma is by allowing our currency to depreciate even more so that the debt becomes less burdensome in dollar terms. The national debt, my friends, now stands at $11.6 trillion. The national debt in 1913 was $2.9 billion. Therefore, you see, the national debt has gone up by, get this, $400,000 in 96 years. Do you understand? That's 400,000%. I had to go back and check calculations a number of times, my friends. But the fact of the matter is, that's the number. 400,000% our national debt has gone up in 96 years. The people we elected to Congress have spent $11.6 trillion, more than the government has generated in revenues, with $10 trillion of that accumulated since 1981. Something to think about. I'll be back in a few moments. My opinions are not that.
Is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. Reality's what you please. I wanna ask you, does water freeze at 32 degrees? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out.
Willie Edwards, dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? On yesterday's Perspectives on America, our segment entitled Calling It As I See It, remember that I said to you, it's what people do, not what they say, that matters. I warned you that what is coming is taxes and regulation. 96 years we have printed money out of nothing. And I submit to you, you cannot print money out of nothing. You must produce. Much of our production is now in China and other countries. We are on a collision course for massive inflation, printing money, monetizing debt. It's not the current account deficit, which is improving, by the way, that we will see the dollar go much lower. It is the debt, piled high, piled deep. My friends, you cannot pay off debt by issuing more debt. Eventually, the system will implode. And that is what we're dealing with now. Despite all these so-called investments. Now remember, before we began with Willie Edwards' music, I shared with you that the national debt in 96 years has gone up 400,000%. The people that we've elected to Congress have spent $11.6 trillion more than the government has generated in revenues, and $10 trillion of that has been accumulated since 1981, the year Ronald Reagan took office, by the way. Up to that point in time, only $1.6 trillion had ever been generated in total debt in this nation. And now look what we face. I remember in my early years of broadcasting, it was appalling that we were approaching $5 trillion. Or maybe it was billion. I don't know. I lose track of the numbers. It's just a matter of a B or a T. None of it matters. We know that now, don't we? Simply amazing. But you see, despite all these investment spendings by our elected officials, the country's infrastructure is crumbling. My friends, we import 66% of our energy supplies versus 28% in 1982. Our public education system is on par with a third world country. Our health care system is bloated, expensive, corrupt. And we've racked up another $56 trillion of future liabilities for unfulfillable promises made by our myopic leaders. The bills passed by Congress, written by lobbyists, by the way, exceed 1,000 pages, with payoffs and pork to constituents, corporate contributors, and other influential allies. You honestly thought that they were bringing home the bacon to your local district, to you, to your family, to your community? Come, come, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you know better than that by now? It doesn't quite work that way. It doesn't quite work that way. My friends, None of these bills are even read by our leaders before being passed, and they haven't been for nearly 10 decades, at least that. Hundreds of pages of amendments are added at 3 o'clock in the morning when everybody's home in bed or only one or two elected officials are on the television in the Congress all by themselves giving a sales pitch to a camera about what a great job he's doing for you. You see, as the ruling pigs in Animal Farm are slowly corrupted, they take the spoils while the working class proletariat toil for, well, nothing. Congress and the bankers are the ruling pigs. We are the overworked common animals. Talk is cheap and lies are expensive. There is a group out there, a musical group that has been somewhat popular for a number of years. I don't care for their music, but the name of the group is Green Day, who did a song some years ago entitled Walking Contribution. Listen to the words. Do as I say, not as I do, because the poop's so deep you can't run away. I beg to differ on the contrary. I agree with every word that you say. Talk is cheap. Lies are expensive. My wallet's fat, and so is my head. Hit and run, then I'll hit you again. I'm a smartass, but I'm playing dumb. Standards set and broken all the time. Control the chaos behind a gun. Call it as I see it, even if I was born deaf, blind, and dumb. Losers winning big on the lottery. Rehab rejects, still sniffing glue. Constant refutation with myself. I'm a victim of Catch-22. Once again, George Orwell. If you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. The American Revolution was fought for the ideals that all men are created equal and we had the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Russian Revolution of 1917 was based on Karl Marx's idealistic Communist Manifesto, which pitted the oppressors against the oppressed. Communism was supposed to be a system in which goods were owned in common and available to all as needed. The 10 conditions for a transition to communism are 1. The abolition of private property or property in land application of all rents of land to public purposes. 2. A heavy progressive or graduated income tax. 3. Abolition of all right of inheritance. 4. Confiscation of the property of all immigrants and rebels. 5. Centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. 6. Centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. 7. Extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, the bringing into cultivation of wastelands, and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. 8. Equal liability of all to labor. Establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. 9. Combination of agricultural with manufacturing industries. Gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equal distribution of the population over the country. And finally, 10. Free education for all children in public schools. Abolition of children's factory labor in its present form. Combination of education with industrial production. My friends, George Orwell's 1984 and Animal Farm were biting condemnations of the Soviet Union, its perversion of the revolution's ideals and class tyranny that ultimately widened in its society. The American Republic was constructed upon the individual and their freedom and liberty. And after sharing with you the above or the previous list of conditions, the United States is at least 50% of the way to a perverted form of communism as our leaders have instituted a progressive income tax, restricted the right of inheritance through taxes, centralized credit in the hands of the state, allowed corporate farms to dominate agriculture along with providing tax breaks and protective tariffs. They've gotten into bed with the military-industrial complex, something Eisenhower warned against. They've gotten in bed with the banking industry, the auto industry, provide free public education to the working classes while they send their privileged children to private schools. By satiating the poor working classes with bread and circuses like welfare programs, easy credit, no income taxes, cable television, fast food, cheap liquor, and drugs. The ruling classes are able to reap obscene riches through the systematic raping of the American public through the use of inflation and taxes on the middle class. George Orwell, there are some ideas so wrong, he says, that only a very intelligent person could believe in them. George Orwell, who many have come back years later and said, oh, he was a Fabian, he was a socialist, he was this, he was that. I'll tell you what, the man's words are certainly well worth listening to. Once again, the words of Pink Floyd.
I don't know, I was really drunk at the time.
The success of any system of government is ultimately dependent upon the integrity, honesty, and honor of its leaders. If they become corrupted by power and money, the system will ultimately collapse. It may be a natural progression in all societies that intellectuals with superior intelligence will take advantage of those who perform physical labor. The intelligentsia in Animal Farm are the pigs who learn to walk on two legs, wear clothes, sleep in beds, drink alcohol, and consider animals that walk on four legs as their inferiors. They perverted the founding principles of the revolution. The intelligentsia of the United States has perverted the founding principles that all men are created equal and we are each entitled to our individual liberties. The ruling elite constitute the 1% richest Americans and the politicians they have bought. The top 1% own 35% of all the net worth in the nation. They own as much as the bottom 90% of Americans. They earn 22% of the income and pay 40% of the taxes in the U.S. And yet I would contend that the majority of the intelligentsia has utilized their private education, Washington and Wall Street connections, and ability to manipulate the financial and political system to further enrich themselves at the expense of the average American. George Orwell once again states, it is almost universally felt that when we call a country democratic, we are praising it. Consequently, the defenders of every kind of regime claim that it is a democracy and fear that they might have to stop using the word if it were tied down to any one meaning. You see, the definition democracy is government by the people. Today, the United States is democratic in name only. The political class, which supposedly represents the citizens, has perverted the original concept of a representative democracy. Our representatives are supposed to personally sacrifice by taking time off from their everyday professions to do what was best for the country. And after performing this noble duty, they would go back to their original vocations. Instead, 40% of Congress are lawyers. Their goal is to make a career in Washington, D.C., and after leaving Congress, they seek riches as lobbyists. And once elected, they utilize the power and money gained from the position to maintain that position permanently. This is why incumbents win elections 95% of the time. In the year 2004, incumbents spent $700 million to get reelected, while challengers spent only $200 million. These obscene sums of money have perverted the original intention of the founders, my friends. Our music, we just concluded with Pink Floyd. Us or them. Us and them, I apologize. We have an interesting musical selection in this program today. I hope you're enjoying it. The combination of a permanent political class with an undereducated, uninterested, gullible, naive electorate has permitted the few to wield immense power over the majority. In Animal Farm, the working class is represented by Boxer, the workhorse. He is a hard-working, non-thinking animal that repeats over and over that Napoleon, Stalin, if you recall, is always right. He is representative of those who believe everything that Barack Obama says is gospel. Ultimately, Boxer is sacrificed so that the pigs can live more luxuriously. A highly educated, involved electorate would be dangerous to those in power. An atrocious public education system is exactly or actually beneficial to the pigs. There are 34 million Americans without a high school degree, constituting 15% of those over 18 years of age. Another 112 million have graduated high school without progressing any further with their education. Many of these people are functionally illiterate, cannot add, cannot spell, don't know where or when World War II happened, or who is the Vice President of the United States today. Only 69% of those entering ninth grade in the public school system even graduate high school. The graduation rates and educational achievements of minorities are dramatically worse than even these numbers. Only 26% of the population has a bachelor's degree, with only 6% possessing a master's degree. And so the proliferation of drugs among the poor keeps them dazed and sedated. Various welfare programs and easy credit keep them from rioting, as they can't purchase luxury cars and electronic gadgets enjoyed by the upper classes. The bad debts are picked up by the taxpayers, and as a further control, those in power have put 2.3 million people in prisons, most of whom are poor, 60% who are minorities, and I don't even know what the percentage of those are who are illegal aliens. By distracting the majority of people in the country with cable television, the internet, Twitter, cell phones, sports, movies, and shopping malls, the pigs who run the show are able to oppress and control the masses. The highly educated use the idiocy and naivete of the oppressed to their advantage by using the rigged financial system to generate ever more riches for themselves. The banker gods peddled fraudulent mortgage schemes throughout the world in order to enrich themselves, and when it blew up in their faces, they turned to their government co-conspirators, Hank Paulson, Ben Bernanke, and most of Congress, to keep their riches. and their congressional benefactors have obliged by stealing trillions from the taxpaying classes and redistributed it to the pigs running Goldman Sachs, Citicorp, and Bank of America. George Orwell's most pointed criticism of political leaders was their misuse of language to further their wicked agendas. He exposed the outrageous abuse of words in his books 1984 and Animal Farm. The ruling elite manipulate the language as an instrument of control over the masses. I think many of us know that by now. Once again, in the words of Orwell, the great enemy of clear language is insincerity. When there is a gap between one's real and one's declared aims, one turns, as it were, instinctively to long words and exhausted idioms like a cuttlefish squirting out ink. The intelligentsia understands, my friends, that the masses can be manipulated without or with convincing talking points and misleading slogans. Politicians never tell their constituents they are doing some pork barrel spending. Every dollar of new spending is spun as investment spending. Well, we've evidently made $11.6 trillion of investments in our national debt. Somehow we enacted campaign finance reform and still managed to spend $1.3 billion on political campaigns. Our beloved numbskull Vice President Joe Biden said recently, we've got to spend money to keep from going bankrupt. President George W. Bush said, I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system. President Obama insisted the only way to save our country from catastrophe caused by excessive debt was to borrow $700 billion and spend it on infrastructure projects, of which only 3.5% was allocated to our crumbling infrastructure. During the Vietnam War, a U.S. major declared, quote, it became necessary to destroy the village in order to save it, end of quote. And in 1947, the government changed the name of the Department of War to the Department of Defense, as we today have garrisons of 100,000 troops in 117 foreign countries. The Department of Homeland Security, the Patriot Act, the War on Terror are all deceptive titles and slogans purposefully meant to hoodwink bubis americanus. In our age, there is no such thing as keeping out of politics. All issues are political issues, and politics itself is a mass of lies, evasions, folly, hatred, and schizophrenia. The very concept of objective truth is fading out of the world. Lies will pass into history. George Orwell. Obama and his cronies hammer away that 47 million Americans are uninsured. It's a lie, but that does not deter them from continuing to make the claim. The latest census report says that within the borders of the United States as of 2007, there were 45.65 million people without health insurance. But this number included 9.73 million foreigners, leaving only 35.92 million Americans who were uninsured. Among the uninsured in the United States, there were also 9.1 million people making more than $75,000 a year who did not choose to purchase health insurance. And therefore, we're imposing a trillion-dollar solution for 28 million people who are poor and uninsured. That is $36,000 per person, while imposing a huge, invasive bureaucracy on the lives of the other 278 million Americans. The masses, once again, my friends, believe the lies. Of course, let's not forget our good friends, the green extremists. They've now convinced everybody, children and dullards, that global warming is destroying the planet. They state their position as fact when their thesis does not meet the scientific method criteria as fact. Their contentions are based on computer models. Our financial system was also based on financial models that said that worthless mortgages were really gold. We all know how that worked out. The facts are that the Earth is warm prior to the Industrial Revolution and is cooled. The sun, water vapor, Earth's orbit, volcanoes, interstellar clouds, cosmic rays, tectonic plates, land use, CO2, sunspots, gravitational pulls, ocean currents, and solar flares all impact the Earth. It's far too complex to declare that we know what is happening. Let's get tomorrow's weather forecast right first. Men plan and God laughs. Which brings us to the fact that during the course of the 1400s, there must have been an awful lot of cows farting. The Orwellian language of big government turns people into pliable subjects. It lulls us into passively accepting ever-increasing taxes while encouraging our reliance on an embedded and mutating bureaucracy administered by corrupt career politicians and backed by corporate sugar daddies. Wall Street shysters have mastered the art of twisting and distorting reality to benefit themselves. Subprime loans, which triggered the worldwide financial crisis, were called non-prime. The billions of worthless toxic loans that still sit on the books of our biggest banks at original cost are now referred to as legacy loans. Isn't that quaint? The lowest rated bonds of the worst bonds of the worst companies are referred to as high yield debt, not junk bonds. You see, we describe our economy as free market, and there's nothing further from the truth. Bailouts for corporate failures and rewarding the excess risk takers are not hallmarks of free market capitalism, my friends. Government takeovers of banks, insurance companies, auto companies, these are not free market capitalism. It is a warped form of corporate fascism, the intermingling of the state and corporations for the benefit of a few. Kevin DePew from Minionville.com described the Orwellian lies of Hank Paulson as he sat before the Congress explaining his criminal actions last fall. Paulson asserted throughout his testimony that he almost single-handedly averted an economic collapse. And moreover, that we should actually be thanking him for it. The ugly assemblage of half-truths, obfuscations, smarmy evasiveness, and prickly showboating would have embarrassed Bernie Madoff. But it wasn't Bernie Madoff. It was a former United States Treasury Secretary, Paulson stated. And once again, we return to the words of George Orwell as he speaks of myopia. Enlightened people seldom or never possess a sense of responsibility. Animal Farm represents any human society, whether it be capitalist, socialist, fascist, communist. Leaders are capable of being corrupted, my friends, by power within any form of government. The myopic thinking of the pigs in Animal Farm will eventually destroy the farm. Orwell ends the novel with the animals watching the pigs mingling with farmers through a window. They couldn't tell the difference between the supposed revolutionaries and those that had fought against it. If he had looked into the future, he would have seen that the Soviet Union would decay from the inside as the corrupt few eventually came to believe their own lies and propaganda. It collapsed 44 years later as a corrupt, bankrupt shell of a country. The combination of myopia, greed, wickedness, ignorance, and indifference are a brew that are leading the United States down the very same path. As the pigs in our society have enriched themselves, the average American has seen their real standard of living stagnate over the past four decades. The pigs have manipulated government inflation statistics so that the masses think they are getting ahead. The myopia of our politicians has put the country into a predicament that we can no longer escape without tremendous pain and suffering. In order to keep their positions of power, they have passed bills for decades that promise trillions more in goodies than we can possibly ever pay for. They've paid no thought to the long-term consequences of their actions because they do not give a damn. Future generations are of no concern to gluttonous, power-hungry pigs. During the 8 years of the Bush presidency, the ruling class used fear tactics and propaganda to ram through laws which allow government to monitor the movements and communications of every single American. Liberties have been stripped and freedoms have been restricted, and now Obama is attempting to take control over the few aspects of our lives that remain relatively free. The Orwellian phrase, cap and trade, sounds much more innocuous than an energy tax of $1,500 on every household in America that will drive manufacturers out of the country, along with millions of jobs. You see, America's Affordable Health Choices Act is the Orwellian name for a bill that will create a massive new bureaucracy, cost at least $1 trillion, cost small businesses billions more in health costs, give government the final decision on whether you are worth saving, and provide more freebies to poor Americans. This will keep the poor sedated and less likely to cause trouble for the ruling class. Now think of all these things. These are issues that in one form or another we have covered at length in the course of the Federal Observer over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. We've certainly covered the healthcare issue on this program in depth over the last week or so. Let us consider this. In this nation today, we have something called the Bill of Rights. How about if we were to convert that and we begin to call it the Bill of Frights, F-R-I-G-H-T-S. Amendment number one. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, except when the Department of Homeland Security determines that you are a domestic terrorist who's a member of the Libertarian Party and attend tax day tea parties. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed except when the government fears you will use those arms against them. Amendment 3. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized, unless we suspect that you are a terrorist or anti-government activist. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation unless politicians decide that a shopping mall would be a better use for your private property. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense, unless we classify you as a non-combatant and put you in prison for 2 years without charging you or providing counsel. Amendment number 6. In suits of common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of law of the United States than according to the rules of the common law after you wait for 2 years for your speedy trial. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted, unless approved by Dick Cheney. Amendment 9. The enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people unless activist judges determine otherwise. And Amendment 10, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people, except that all these powers have been usurped by the federal government. During times of universal deceit, my friends, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. As we look through the window at the raucous party between the pigs and the farmers, it has become impossible to distinguish between the imperial monarchist who taxed the colonies to such an extreme that it caused a revolution and the revolutionaries that have adopted the same characteristics and traits of those they revolted against. The American people are like sheep being led to slaughter. Our founding fathers declared that the common people were in control. In control! Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. My friends, I submit to you the time has come to abolish this corrupt system and institute a new government. I share with you these words now, prior to such time that we will actually play the music in our closing moments. Harmlessly passing your time in the grassland away, only dimly aware of a certain unease in the air. You better watch out. There may be dogs about. I've looked over Jordan and I have seen things are not what they seem. What do you get for pretending the danger's not real? Meek and obedient, you follow their leader. Down well-trodden corridors into the valley of steel. What a surprise. A look of terminal shock in your eyes. Now things are really what they seem. No, this is no bad dream. Have you heard the news? The dogs are dead. You better stay home and do as you're told. Get out of the road if you want to get old. Pink Floyd, Sheep. Thank you for being with us on this special broadcast. Enjoy our closing music. It'll give you something to think about, something to pray about, something to commiserate about. For those of you in the chat room, maybe for once you've been shocked to a degree of silence. For many of the rest of you, I hope you've been shocked into a degree of action. Thank you for joining me on this hot day in July 2009. We pray God we're still speaking a year from now. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.